Hi everyone, welcome back to Be More, where we aim to inspire you to be a little bit more of every role within the Salesforce ecosystem. For this week's episode, we are back along the conventional Salesforce paths, and today we are talking about being more consultant, which holds a special place in my heart as somebody who started out their career going through the different levels of consultant. I'm joined today by Eric, and we are going to be talking about what it means to be a consultant and hopefully inspire you to be more consultant yourself. So Eric, without further ado, are you able to start by introducing yourself for us, please?
Yeah, sure. Well, first, thanks for having me here. So my name is Eric Praad. I am a consultant, as you said. Really, I'm a senior business analyst. I've been working on the Salesforce platform for about 13 years. I am one of the Ansys leaders and three times Salesforce MVP.
Awesome. And is that a French accent?
It is a French accent, yeah. Mixed with maybe a little bit of Irish twang.
Okay, awesome. Well, welcome and thanks again for joining us. So are you able to kind of break down for us or for our audience what it means to be a consultant, like typical day-to-day activities and where you get involved on a project?
Consultant is a very wide name for many different roles. So I'll concentrate on my role, if you don't mind, which is more a business analyst.
Yep.
So really, as a business analyst, you are, in a nutshell, you're the liaison between the business and the developers. So we would take requirements from the business, whatever they want the system to do, and we would translate them into user stories that we would pass on to the developers to build. So, of course, we would follow up with the developers to see how they're getting on, if they need any more info. On the other side, with the customer, while taking their requirements, we would always try to question those requirements. You know, why are you trying to do something that way? Is it because you've always done it that way, which is the wrong answer? Or is there a reason for it? You know, it could be a legal reason or whatever. So anyway, we've got the requirements. We created the user stories that we've passed on to the developers. We follow up with them. Most companies, I'd say now, use the agile methodology where you would have multiple stories put into sprints. So usually like 2-3 week periods where you try to build, you know, so many stories. And you build all that up, and eventually you end up with a release where you release the product. That's in a nutshell, 30,000 feet overview, yeah?
Yeah, perfect. Okay, and maybe for our audience, because there is obviously quite a lot of overlap here with business analysts, but from my own experience, this does kind of vary between different companies, like what the expectation of consultant is. So just kind of diving in, maybe more of a 10,000, 5,000 feet view, if I may. Are you typically involved in solutioning as well and kind of understanding, okay, this is a requirement and this is roughly how I'm going to tell the developers how to build it?
There's usually someone who's in charge of the solutioning. However, I would always be asked to help. It would be a solution architect. Usually, you know, when I said early on that a consultant could be many things, a solution architect can be a consultant as well. You also have technical architects come into, you know, helping with the solution. While they look more into like integrations and other systems and all, they need to know what's happening. A solution can have consequences on the TA work as well.
I know sometimes when I'm running discovery sessions or things like that, I would get kind of a more of a technical architect in the call with me, especially when it's talking about integrations, because otherwise, as a consultant or as a solution architect, I might not be asking the right questions, right?
You know, it's a whole team. Being a consultant is being part of a team, and you need them. You need the solution architect, the technical architect, whoever. And yeah, most of when it comes to integration, I mean, I know some of it, but I would not feel confident enough, you know, to have a full discussion without a TA present.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's a good thing that you kind of lent on there, like working together as a team. A consultant is a crucial part of the team, but there are other pieces of the team that kind of come together to help deliver the best solution or the best integration, whatever it may be, right?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Do you have any kind of pre-sales work as well in terms of putting together proposals and things like that?
Yeah, so pre-sales is a real funny one. You hate it or you love it. Personally, I'm not a huge fan of it, let's be honest. But yes, it does happen where I'm asked to help just because of my knowledge of Salesforce. It's always good to help them understand what Salesforce can do, can and cannot do, let's be honest.
Yep.
It's just good for them as well, like for the company that will maybe be your customer to see what kind of consultants they would be dealing with.
We've kind of touched on it already, but how does your role interact with other roles? So you mentioned about the solution architect and the technical architect. What about the developers and the admins? How does your role as consultant interact with them?
Yeah, well, I actually really feel like the DA is kind of like the center mm-hmm. where every communication goes through the BA. It's not 100% true, of course, like, but a lot of it goes through the BA. So we end up communicating with quite a variety of people. Let's go, for example, with the customer side. We end up talking to the business, maybe the system admin, the IT department, maybe they've got a DevOps department as well on the partner side. We also have plenty of people. So the ones we discussed about, the SAs, the TAs, but there's other roles, project manager, data analyst, maybe, again, DevOps, etc. There's really a whole variety of people that you have to talk to, communicate with. Again, I really feel like a lot of those discussions have to go through the BA and then they're relayed uh-huh. onto another department. Pre-pandemic, I remember where those discussions would mostly happen in an office uh-huh. or on the client side, or at least it was 50-50. And now yeah. 99% of it is at home in front of my computer.
Yeah. So sometimes you see people, like, perhaps this is more applicable to smaller consultancies or smaller partners, but you see people wearing multiple hats. Do you think, or perhaps in your experience, are you in your consultant type role full time, or do you play other roles as well? For example, I don't know, admin, developer. How does that work day to day?
So I think you hit the nail on the head there. It really depends on the size of the company.
Mm-hmm.
I find that the bigger the company, the more defined your role is. Like, you know, you've got that box and you don't really get out of it. If the company is smaller, or even if the project is smaller, as mm-hmm. a VA, you end up doing quite a lot of system admin duties. Developer, not as much. I mean, me, definitely not. You know, I remember talking to a developer and he was showing me a global class. And I said, you lost me at G. You know,
I just don't know
development at all, as in coding. But yeah, I've seen a lot of BA and admin duties
mm-hmm.
mashed together, really. But again, depends on the size of project and company.
For those that are listening to this and they're thinking, oh, maybe they want to kind of go down this track, this kind of consultant BA type path, what tips or advice would you give to those looking to start out in this role? Like, what would you do if you were starting out again to kind of get to where you're at now?
Yeah, so first I would tell them to go for it. Don't be afraid. Like, it's a great job, very rewarding. It will give you a lot of insights in many different types of businesses. For example, I'm currently working on a banking project, so I'm learning a lot about the banking world. Another piece of advice would be to show your interest in the Salesforce product in general, and yeah. also keep up to date, you know, with the new releases. Like, you cannot know everything. It's just possible. Not anymore. Back maybe 10 years ago, yes, it was. Now it's just not. Then more towards, like, you know, very specific to the BA role, you need to be a very good listener and an even better communicator. As we said, you know, there's many people that you need to talk to, that you need to relay information to.
Awesome. And I can certainly relate to the whole release notes thing. As a solution architect that kind of specializes a little bit more in B2B, I'll look at the sales, service, flow, experience cloud, and account engagement bits. But the other bits, maybe like the Salesforce platform bits as well, and maybe a little bit of the developer bits, I absorb it perhaps better by just tuning into, like, the release readiness lives and picking where I go. Do you do that as well?
Yeah, definitely. So I'm the same, you know, I pick and choose like some sections. I'm big into Service Cloud, for example. So I go for Service Cloud, flows, formulas, things like that.
Salesforce kind of introduce different tools as well. I think there's like a matrix that comes out at release time as well, and you can kind of filter it by the products that you use.
One thing on that as well, if you can get a pre-release org and play with it. You know, I know I love it for flows, like, you know, new features and flows, and then I try them.
So I've had a pre-release org for, I don't know, a year and a half, 2 years now. It was a spring release a while ago, and I just kept it. And because I use it and maintain it, it's never expired. And unofficially, Salesforce usually upgrade it a couple of days before the official date, because the pre-release orgs are on the instances that get upgraded like number one. It's similar to what I've asked already, but kind of digging a little bit more into it a bit. If you were to start out as a consultant again, is there anything you'd explicitly do differently?
Yes, definitely. Like, I'd probably learn about the role beforehand. I got into the role, like, I really thought it was the same as being a system administrator. Don't ask me why. That is what I thought. Yeah. So definitely wasn't prepared for what was coming. So I was lucky. I worked in a very good, small enough company when I started there. So there were plenty of people that were there to help me. You know, everything is on Trailhead, or a lot of it is on Trailhead, at least. That's where I would start. Another thing that I would say is never be afraid to ask questions.
I love that ask questions thing, because whenever I kind of onboard a new customer or meet a new customer, I say to them, like, if you've got a question, it's not a silly question. Like, I don't believe in silly questions. Ask me. I would rather you ask me than assumed, and then I do something wrong, because that's quite a risk, you know?
It is a big risk, yeah. And to be fair, you know, now if I see a newcomer, you know, in the company, I would actually be afraid of them if they didn't ask questions. You know, I'd be like, okay, this is just a recipe for disaster.
We kind of touched on it already, but a great way to do that is via the Trailblazer community, right?
Definitely, definitely, plenty of questions and answers there. And also within the company, you know, talk to people that have been doing your job for years. And they'll give you that answer, and they'll also give you tips and tricks.
Yeah, because you can't really learn the internal politics of a company in a public site, you know? So yeah, I think that's great. And I guess user groups come in along the way as well, right? With actually like connecting with fellow people in the ecosystem and learning from your own experience. And also, I think just kind of be open to like doing something wrong as well. And it sounds a little bit odd or off, you know, and completely thankful and open to people like you jumping in and reminding me that is null has been depreciated, like in a formula, because you can't get it right all the time. It's not possible. You're human, right? And I'm really thankful for that, because the fact that you reminded me of that's now burned into my mind.
You know, don't be afraid to fail. Like, for, you know, making mistakes is a great way to learn. So don't be afraid to make mistakes. Hopefully the mistake is not that big that you erase like all your customers' data, but otherwise it's fine, you know. Like, remember, we don't save lives. So breathe. You'll see, like, you know, we all make mistakes. I have 13 years experience and I still make mistakes when it comes to Salesforce.
The majority, like what I do is media, retail, and financial services, usually no lives are involved there. So,
Exactly.
what skills, attributes do you think it takes to be consultant? Problem solving, kind of doing those journey maps in terms of business processes, things like that. What else do you think is important there?
Get your ADM 201, whether it will serve you or not. Well, I mean, it will, but every single company will ask for the ADM 201. So that should be one of the first things that you should try to do. Obviously, you know what we touched on before. So your problem solving, be a good listener, a good communicator, be knowledgeable about Salesforce. Make sure you learn how to document things. Document, document. Document everything. It could be meeting minutes, Jira, like, you know, your stories, process charts, who does what, who can see what. Document it. And be inquisitive, you know, ask a lot of questions, challenge requirements all the time. A user story should answer three questions at the minimum. So who does something,
yep.
what they do, and why they do it. And the why is usually kind of skimmed over, where it shouldn't be, because that is the challenge. Like, why do you want to do it this way? Is it because you've always done it that way? Well, most of the time, that's the wrong answer. There could be reasons, right? Most of the time, that's the wrong answer. Is it because for legal reason you need to do it like that? Then, of course, I can't. You know, we have to do that. What if we change the process?
Yeah.
Could it make it easier, harder? You know, so challenge, ask a lot of questions and challenge requirements.
Yeah, definitely. And I think like user story thing, like for example, as a service manager, I want to be able to track the performance of the team so I can measure my KPIs, like for example, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So is there anything you'd like to change or demystify about the role? And I know we've already touched a little bit on the blurred lines between this role and the BA role, but anything else you kind of like to debunk or like demyth about consultants?
So I don't know about debunk, demyth, but one thing that you have to be prepared to do is many hours. You know, you may even work sometimes on the weekend because that's when releases happen. You're not going to work 100 hours every week, don't worry, but there will be weeks where you will definitely work more than 40. That's the name of the game. Now, there are weeks where you work a lot less because, you know, it just depends on whether you're in a project or not, how busy your project is, and so on. So it can be a stressful job. So be ready for it. But, you know, there's many things. First, it is a very rewarding job. You learn a lot. You never get really bored because, well, you know, projects only last so long. You get onto another project afterwards. You also learn to deal with that stress. You know, don't hesitate to take half an hour, go for a walk, you know, watch your favorite show on YouTube, whatever it is, but take half an hour, 10 minutes, whatever it is. Learn to really appreciate your days off, you know, just go for a trip, do something like really that has nothing to do with work. Yeah. You have to disconnect, or unfortunately, that's when burnouts happen, and don't go there, you know, just. Know it can be stressful, but know that there are solutions to relieve the stress.
Make sure you're in touch kind of with your body and your mind. And I'm not a consultant, but it's, I guess, applicable to every role in the ecosystem, really. Like, for example, the other week, I had such a kind of turnaround in my mood by taking the time to have a full lunch break, to go outside for lunch and actually just sit with a colleague in the sun, have some lunch, and completely like rejuvenated how I felt. Like, I felt a lot better after that because it'd been quite a full-on morning, so I knew that I had to kind of get out and take a break. So
and that's it. And look, it was a lunch. How long did it take? Maybe you managed to take a full hour, and that's all you needed. And after, like, the afternoon was probably a lot better than if you had just eaten a small sandwich at your desk and, you know, just head down on your computer. You are so annoyed for the rest of the day, and you can carry that annoyance for the rest of the week, if not longer. So those little things are very important.
Awesome. So I'm afraid we're having to bring today's session to a close. Before we do go, what's a way for people to connect with you and your content to kind of become a little bit more inspired themselves?
So the best way is probably the Trailblazer community or LinkedIn. I also have a Twitter account, or is it an X account now?
Yeah.
But I don't really use it. So LinkedIn or the Trailblazer community.
Okay. Awesome. Well, thanks again for joining us. And hopefully between us, we will inspire people to be a little bit more consultant. So thanks again. Thanks for tuning in to Be More with Tom Bassett. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and leave any feedback in the comments below.